for tuning in and Happy New Year. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the changes I noticed since having been in therapy. I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience of therapy and the before and after, I guess, of how it was for me, to give a little bit of an insight to what it can be like. Hope you enjoy it. Before healing my trauma, I remember hating being alone. I was definitely better and happier in company and just didn't like being alone. Didn't like being alone at home all day or at all or overnight or, you know, the idea of living alone, which I think is so brave when people can do that. So many skills and confidence, I think, can come from that. But I was the opposite of that, so I just couldn't do it. I was really rubbish at it. And I remember when I got ill, needing to have some space and it being a bit of a foreign concept to me. And it then became a regular feature, and now I need it like I need water. You know, it's now something that I actually need regularly. And that's one of the things that I've noticed that's changed. You know, it's something that I don't have to cater for the trauma anymore, I guess, because that comes with its own behaviours. Defense mechanisms and things like that. So it's nice not having to do that anymore. It's, well, I say that, what I mean is it's a simple difference, a small difference, simple little thing, but quite significant, you know, and it's a before and after. It's one of the things I've noticed. Not only do I need now to have some time alone, It's so easy to do. It's comfortable rather than triggering or uncomfortable. You know, it was something I just would avoid. Whereas now I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable within it. And it's easy and I get a lot from it. You know, I enjoy the space to be. Yes. Name drop. I enjoy the space to be, to think, to reflect, to just be with my own thoughts. That's not a scary place now. It's not uncomfortable. It's okay. Advertisement break. Don't look in mirrors. Understanding shame gremlins, as the wonderful Brené Brown refers to them as, understanding them, knowing them, being able to spot them is such a valuable tool. It really, really is. I am so glad I'm at the other side of that now. Instead of just being stuck in the behaviours and it just adding to kind of low self-concept, low self-esteem, it was another thing that I could add to the list of things I didn't really like about myself. Whereas now I understand, oh, that's just a shame trigger. And when I'm in a shame trigger, the behaviour that usually comes out is this. And for me, it would be tidying, cleaning, organising, and even more organising. So if I'm stressed or in shame, then that's something that I would do. And I become a bit bossier. I'm not going to say bossy because I already am, but a bit bossier, and a bit less friendly and you know, maybe just slightly less princessy for a moment or two. But it does happen. Yeah, I do get a bit unreasonable, and that's what happens, I guess, when we're in shame or we're triggered. You know, our limbic system has kicked in, our lizard brain. So our rational thoughts, our perspective that we have has gone out the window for a while. And we're not thinking complicated thoughts, you know, where we usually can reflect or consider things from different points of view. You know, when you're in that stage or state, you're just not able to see the wood for the trees. And I'm glad that that is something I have the ability to do now, is to know and to recognise. It doesn't stop it happening, but it means I understand it more. And there's lots more compassion than there is critique. I reckon I used to probably hold the Guinness World Record for rumination. It's a place that I lived at. I really did. Used to just live there. Used to take things very personally. Used to really think about things heavily, deeply, round and round and round, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. And that's how I got the world record, you know, from ruminating. And oh, it sucks, does ruminating. Absolutely sucks. Oh, it's like mud is in your brain, you know, like you're stuck in the mud and you just can't see clearly. You can't move forward because you're stuck in the mud. Oh, it's absolutely horrible. And I remember the physical feeling that used to go with it. You know, it was an all-over body feeling. Like, not quite being in an interview, but thinking about being in an interview. You know, just all over, stressy, sweaty, just horrible. And that wasn't there for all of the rumination, because the rumination was so excessive. But it was a feature, you know, when it used to peak and trough. When it would peak, it would be like that. When it would trough, I guess it, when it was in a trough, I don't know. It would be more like really low, you know, just, well, oh, there's no way out of the situation, or I'm never going to find a solution. It would be a bit more like that, you know. So even within rumination, I'd sway between sort of hot anger, being really pissed off, and then down to, well, there's no point, I give up, I can't be bothered. And it was particularly with relationships, especially with friends. I used to really struggle with figuring out just how to do things, I don't know. I felt like my needs didn't align all the time, and that's what I used to really struggle with. I used to not be able to communicate my needs. I used to not be able to, I wasn't very good at going along with things either. Don't know if I am now. Probably better at it now than I used to be. And yeah, I would really struggle, really, really ruminate. And I, you know, I'm not going to go into more detail now because it would be personal. But yeah, rumination. I'm really glad that I don't live at that station anymore. Very glad. I'm not saying it's eradicated. Yes, I still go there. That's another place that if I'm triggered or shamed, it's somewhere that I can go and ruminate. And I'd say I do resolve things with people within the same year, at least. Well, or quicker now than I used to, because I don't want that feeling. I don't want that, you know. I made a promise to myself a while ago that I wasn't going to stay there. I was going to resolve it because I hated that feeling hanging over me. So I do make myself resolve and have the brave conversation a bit sooner, and it's better for me. But I wouldn't have been able to do that unless I'd have done the work, you know, the work, capital T, capital W, the work, which happens in therapy, which is really exploration, all the demons, all the skeletons, all of it comes out. And that sounds traumatic, and it really isn't. It was the most, oh, I don't know. It was, I don't know. Let me think about that and do that one next. I absolutely loved it. I mean, I know I'm a princess, and therefore, of course, talking about me for an hour would be obviously something that I would love to do. But I just can't tell you how amazing it was. It was absolutely transformative. It really, honestly did change my life and save my life. It really, really did. I was in therapy for a long time, for 4 years with one therapist, and then other therapists short term after that. So I really do know what it's like, the process of therapy, what it's like to be a client. I know what I liked in my therapist and therapists that I've had since, and that's what I bring to the table. You know, I've been on the other side, and I can understand how dark it can feel and how unknown it can feel, you know, to trust a complete stranger. How do you know that they know anything? Well, the only qualification I trust the most is my own healing. You know, yes, I have a real actual qualification. I am certified as a counsellor, but the thing that gives me the most confidence is my own healing. So that's what I bring to the table. And yeah, I believe it because I saw it. I believe it because it happened to me. That's why I do it. I wouldn't have gone down this path otherwise, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so it is transformative. It does feel like there's a before and after. Not discrete before and after. It feels like before I started to become self-aware, and then as I, you know, as self-awareness grew. So there is a, I guess, before therapy and then after I woke up in a way. Yeah, just, I wish it was free. I wish everyone could have it. I'd make it compulsory, and free. And yeah, I would literally make it compulsory. I think everyone should have it. I don't think any harm can come from it. I just think it's beneficial to talk about, at the very least, how we are in a non-judgmental space each week. You know, I'm not saying compulsory forever, but I would definitely make it compulsory for teenagers, for anyone who's been through a life event recently, had a baby, got married, lost someone. I don't know why it isn't compulsory in those settings, actually. That, you know, I know it's offered and maybe suggested, but it should. I'd love it if we were in a world where it happened as a matter of course. If you lost someone, you automatically had 6 months of, you know, grief counselling or something like that. Anyway, there's me getting on my princess soapbox. I'd say probably the most fundamental change has been relationships, so with loved ones. I am trying to figure out ways to say this without disclosing, because it's not, first of all, professional or ethical to do so, but secondly, there are other people involved. So I'm not trying to hint or suggest at anything. What I mean is that relationships have transformed. They feel different to how they were before. I think I used to expect different things, and they weren't the reality, they were fantasy. Expectations weren't great, and it's, I guess, the idea that's out there of what things should look like with close relationships, with family. It's total fiction. It's what you make it, and it will evolve and change. And that's been probably one of the most significant changes for me. And I'm really glad. I'm really glad. I'd say my relationships are much better now with loved ones, and more realistic, and I'm just so glad. I'm so glad. It's not something I went to therapy for, but it's another thing that happens from it, because it's like a spring clean of your life, and of your mind, and of the way that you think. And it's great to do some resetting and reframing, and you know, so of course it's going to impact all the key areas. And for me, yeah, that is one of them. Advertisement break. Because I'm worth it, and you're not. I think for some people, therapy is the first space that they have ever been in that isn't judgmental and is compassionate, which is sad, but also reality for some people. And it's those ingredients that are completely healing. That's what the research shows. That's what the theories behind counselling show. That it's those simple yet fundamental ingredients that are transformative. Hold that thought. Advertisement break. All hail Princess Priya. All hail Princess Priya. All hail Princess Priya. I think it's really hard to consider the benefits of therapy before you've been in therapy. I don't think I thought anything of it really when I started. I knew that I needed to go, so it was out of necessity.
And if you're in that place where you need to go, it's not exactly something great. But I didn't think anything of it. I didn't have any expectations of what it would be like, what it would do. I don't think I was even in that frame of mind to think kind of that far ahead. And I have this conversation frequently of how can you explain what happens in therapy to someone who hasn't been in therapy? That's what I try and do as my job. Hold that thought again. How can you possibly believe that something could be transformative before you've given it a go or before you've experienced it? I think it's a massive leap of faith, and it's really brave to consider it and then to try it. And not everyone has the best experience. You might not hit it off straight away. You might not find the right therapist to start with. That's a bit like you have to be compatible. It doesn't mean find a good therapist. Therapists on the whole are pretty damn good. It's more about compatibility.
That explains it, doesn't it, really? You need to find someone who's a good fit for you. And then you jump, you take that leap, and you do the work, the TW capitals, you do the work and you do it. It's not short term if you're doing the work. If you're doing it, I don't know, I guess for some people it might be. I don't do that. I don't do short term. I do long term. That's where I think the transformations really occur, in all areas and the fundamental areas. And there's enough there to move forward in life. For some people, that isn't the right process. Some people go to therapy, go out of therapy, go back to therapy, maybe with someone different. For some people, that's what works. For me, what I needed when I was a client was what I had, I guess, long-term therapy. And after I stopped long-term therapy, I've had several short-term, because that's what I've needed since. So yes, that evolves too, I guess. But I know as a therapist, the way that I like to work is long term. I like to really see the changes. I like to really be there for the work and do it with the client. I'm in it for the long haul. However, here's a little funny story, and then I think I should wrap up. When I first went to therapy, way back when, before I knew anything about anything, it would seem, I remember saying to my therapist that I was returning to work in 6 weeks or something like that. I was a teacher, so summer holidays, had a certain number of weeks left, and said, so I've come with this issue, X issue, and I returned to work in about 6 weeks. So that's my time frame. And I'd say 3 years later, we would laugh about that. And 4 years later, we were still laughing, because that's what I'd expected. I thought, well, come on, here's the issue, get it sorted. 6 weeks, that's ages. That's much long enough. Oh, I don't know. You can tell I need to finish now. Got gobbledygook coming out. Anyway, so there's a little story for you.
even I, Princess Priya, get it wrong on the odd occasion. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope it's been useful, if not, maybe entertaining. And if neither, then you're listening to the wrong podcast, probably. Take care, everyone. Bye.